Hello, everybody. Time for another Code Pen Radio, your favorite show of the week.
We hope so.
Yeah, we're trying to be more consistently weekly because we really do have just a zillion things to talk about. So this should be. But I'm going to take us through like the little babyest topic you ever heard this week, but you're probably going to love it. So I got Steven with me again, you know. Hi, Steven.
It's a big deal. Don't undersell it, Chris.
No, I know. I mean, it's not. It is. To me, because of what it represents and how it works and finagles into the whole system, which I'll get to. But I also suspect that there's not going to be like tens of thousands of applauding users for this particular feature. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It represents good stuff and that we can do stuff like this more and more. So there's this thing. I'm just going to say the word browsers list. Doesn't exactly roll off the tongue.
I always thought it was singular, browser list.
Oh, I know. It really needs to be singular. Browser list is way better, but it's not. It's browsers list, which just ruins the name of it. But it's okay. You know what? That's the only bad thing I'm going to say about it. It's the entire show, because everything else about it is great. Here's what it is just like I'm going to call it user land idea. User land meaning just like, I don't know, some people just thinked it up. You know what I mean? It didn't come from a standards body. And now that I'm part of the CSS working group, I'm more familiar with local governments. Oh, yeah. Thanks. I've made a meeting so far, but they meet every Wednesday and there's little breakoffs and stuff. And it's amazing to me how like high functioning it is so far to me. But man, there's a lot to talk about in CSS. Holy cow. Every week there's just an agenda of just all kinds of stuff. And I listen and I used to think I knew anything about CSS. You don't. You because no. They talk about it at a different level, at like a, I don't know. So there's like a way of talking about CSS that's very different from the like world of just users using it that I preside in. Anyway, it's weird. I mean,
that's more about how like the browser uses CSS, right? Like because they're agreeing on the standards of like how it should be handled within the browser.
Right. So and it has to be totally interoperable between all I can't even talk about how bad I am at talking about it. It's so complex. but I think I'll get more used to it. You know, you can tell the people that have been there a long time, they get how the system works. And it's all very GitHub based, which I do like that part. Anyway, this is not that. It didn't come from the CSS working group or any other working group. Some people just thought it up. I don't know the exact origin of it. I think it might have to do a little bit of something with evil Martians and the post-CSS clan. It seems like there's some kind of connection between that, but I don't know that for sure. That's just kind of a feeling. Anyway, browsers list. There's even a URL, browsersl.ist. Browsersl.ist.
Good luck with that.
You can go there and see what it is. But it is just I'm going to say standardized, even though, remember, this is just a standard that somebody invented, but it is a standard now, I guess. And it's just like a key and a value. And the value can be a string. The value can be an array, I think, an array of multiple strings and stuff, just depending on how you like to configure things. And it describes a set of browsers that you're going to support. So if you need to support whatever, Chrome 142, you can just write Chrome 142 in there, and it's going to support that. That's a little rare. There are defaults, and defaults spills out into something that is like, okay, any browser that has more than 0.5% usage, like based on some global statistic that it pulls down from NPM in some way. And that is a weird little issue that we'll bring up recently. Or you can write last two versions, which means my browser. So what I want to support browser wise on this project is just the last two major versions of every major browser. And then you can put specifics in there. Defaults even has one specific in there. It says Firefox ESR, which is a extended support release, I think, which just, I don't know, some like maybe a few further back versions of Firefox. I forget the exact specifics of that. But yeah, the defaults are pretty good. But you could say defaults and Chrome 146. Or you could say, oh, there's this version that I know my mom is locked to on her iPad. And it's like iOS Safari 12 or whatever it is. You could put that in your browser's list file, like make sure that that browser is supported too. Now you've just described it. All you do is you have a key that says browsers list and a value that is all the browsers that you intend to support. Big deal. What happens now? Like, is it some processor that processes all your code into supporting that? No, it's not. Not by itself, it's not. But this is just the standard for describing the browsers you want to support. And a bunch of other tools that you probably already use will respect the values in this browsers list file. And that's what's cool about it, is that multiple tools, all, A, there's a standard at all, and B, a bunch of them agreed to this. And the list is like Babel. Pretty good, right? Babel is big time. Tons of stuff uses Babel to compile code. And if your Babel has a browsers list, it'll be like, okay, when I compile the browser script, I'll make choices on how to compile that code based on the browsers that you've said to support.
Right.
Cool. Post CSS can do it, but Post CSS is, remember, is doesn't actually do anything by itself. It's like, what plugins for Post CSS? Well, auto prefixer, which is a huge one, in downgrading CSS too. So now we just talked about JavaScript. We're talking about CSS too. Two totally different languages, totally different processors, both supporting your browser's list file. Pretty cool. Lightning CSS supports it. ESLint supports it with its rules and such. Like, it won't yell at you for stuff if it doesn't matter and all that. Yeah, and Post CSS Preset Env does too, which is a like does stuff too. But it's not like auto prefixer. It's more like, here's this weird, cool future feature of CSS. And if it can, it will try to backport it and support it. So that's a bunch of stuff. We don't have ESLint on CodePen yet. I hope to add it soon because it's kind of the standard JavaScript processor. We use a different one at the moment. And I'm not talking about our code base. I'm talking about literally adding linters to the 2.0 editor.
Nice little blocks.
Yeah, that should support it too. This episode of CodePen Radio was brought to you by Notion. That's notion.com/CodePen. With the recent launch of custom agents, Notion became the collaborative AI workspace where teams and agents work side by side. And now their new developer platform is turning that workspace into infrastructure developers can build on. They have this, so custom agents, right? How do you build a custom agent? Well, one of the ways you can build a custom agent is just with plain language. You just talk to it. You open up a prompt and you're like, hey, I need a custom agent that, like, okay, get this, like, every week, our tasks database, I want you to, any tasks that are assigned to me that have changed in status, you know, from, like, to-do to actively being worked on or whatever, I want you to make a workly report and put it in this other database over here because every week I make a document for myself, and this is true, we do this at CodePen, make a document for myself that talks about all the stuff that I worked on. So I just want a little help putting that together. Boom, you got an agent that can do that now in Notion. That's like what a custom agent is. You can also be really specific. You know, Notion has a great API already that you can write code against. But you can, now they have this new thing called Notion workers, which I think are really cool. A worker is like literally like Node TypeScript code that you write and you can deploy through the Notion CLI tool. And you're like, well, where does it run? Do I need some kind of like runtime to run it? Notion is the runtime. Notion runs these things for you. You deploy it to Notion to run. I just think that's so cool and a good move by them. And those can literally call your agents too, making, so now you have this like really programmatic stuff and you have agentic stuff and they're all working together. Pretty powerful stuff. So learn more about Notion's developer platform today at notion.com/codepen. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/codepen to try Notion's developer platform today. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show, notion.com/codepen. So the story of this isn't just like, oh, there's this thing called browsers list. The story is there's this thing called browsers list that CodePen 2.0 supports. And I just think that's really cool, and I'm happy about it. It started with Lightning CSS, which is a processor we didn't have in the classic editor, and we just added it. We're not in this like massive like build as many blocks as we can phase yet, because we're still in public beta and we're trying to get it released. We're close, but it's going to be a little bit, yeah, until we're not in beta and we're kind of quote-unquote launching the 2.0 editor. So, but we know we make a block once in a while. I obviously am very excited to make as many blocks as we possibly can. But I did make Lightning, and I did it in a way because Lightning is very, it's kind of like easy. I hate to say it, but it's just like it just takes an input and makes an output and that's it. It turned out to be a little more complicated than that because Lightning can be a bundler too, and that complicates things a little. But it's pretty easy in the world of blocks for us. And it supports browsers list. And I was like, ooh, we should do that. Like, you know, we should do it. In the way browsers list likes to work is, remember, I called it like it's just a key and a value. Where did that key and value go? It can be in different places, but the most common and their recommended place is your package.json file, which is just a become an industry standard file. CodePen supports it now. If you've been listening to the show or playing with the new editor, you know that when you use packages, like NPM packages, we automatically create a package.json for you. That was actually Steven's idea originally.
Right. And that I think is a good idea, because there's other things like browsers list that use package.json, and we could, you know, in theory support those as well by passing that file to the blocks that need it.
Yeah. It's great. And as you export a pen, then you have it, which means your NPM install will work and that type of stuff. Relatively important. It's an industry standard file. We didn't have that in the old editor. That's one of the reasons I'm like kind of excited about this, is that it slotted right into like nice decisions we've already made. It's like, oh, we actually just have a package.json now. We should just use it for this too, which is great. So I was like, oh, well, just okay. Like when Lightning CSS processes the block, it should just have access to your package.json file. I didn't try to write a lot of code that's very specific to browsers list. Like Lightning CSS already knows how to respect browsers list. It just needs that file present when it runs. And so I made it present when it runs, or it has the information somehow that comes from that file. So I didn't try to do anything super special. I just wanted to be like, oh, it already, you know, if it has access to that file, great. It should use the information from that file then. So that's kind of the implementation of it. And I think that's very satisfying. I feel like in the classic editor, if we like really got a bee in our bonnet to support this, I don't know what we would have did. We would have like made a new database column and like had a setting, and you'd paste the browser's list value in the setting or something like that. And it would have been non-standard in a way. Like it's still like a little bit cool, but, you know, just not, it's too far away from what real world regular web development is like.
Right. And I think we've struck the right balance in the 2.0 editor of like magic of things just working. You add a SCSS file and it starts processing it right away. You don't have to worry about the configuration of it, that magic, but also the just standards of when you export this. You should have most everything you need to start working with it. Now, if you're using extra languages and stuff like that, we're not going to build those processors in for you yet, but stuff like browsers list and the package JSON, like all that should help you get up and running.
Yeah, so browsers list, the successful user land config thing, it reminds me of that other one, editor config. What is the URL for that? Editorconfig.org. And it's a .editor config file that's also just some user land standard. But it turns out that a bunch of stuff just automatically supports it, or there's a plugin to make it support it. So it's a way of saying like, oh, I really like four space spaces when I indent code. You put that information in your editor config, and then when you open the thing in like VS Code or whatever, it respects your editor config file and just does that. We talked about supporting that on CodePen. We may still someday, because it's kind of a cool place to keep that information rather than essentially the database, which is what we do now. Yes, yes. It's not in a config file, but it'd be cool if it was in a file, because it's this user land config thing. It feels spiritually similar to me as browsers list. Like, cool, it's just a cool thing that should work and we can make it work. So maybe we will, you know? I think that's neat. It's also interesting that we had to do a little work to make this work in the CodePen compiler and the blocks that like are like, let's make sure that that file is available during processing. Let's write tests to make sure that it does actually respect that value, or it has access to pull it when it needs it and that kind of thing. That it's not like, yes, we had to do a little bit of work to make this work, but like not a lot. It reminds me in a way that like any system, like I didn't want to do too much. I think like that would be a failure of this implementation, is if we had to like do a ton of coding to support this kind of thing. It's more just like finessing things to make sure it has the right amount of stuff. I don't know why this feels similar to me, but it does a little bit. We use this thing called CSS modules on CodePen. I think a ton of people use CSS modules. In fact, we were even poking around at trying to make a block out of it, you know? Let's see. I'll put that energy out into the world. Maybe we can finish that block up. But there's
right
no...
Right into support.
Tell us you'd need it. I love it. I've always loved it. It's such a simple technology where you write classes in a CSS file and then you use those classes in a JavaScript file, but you import the styles and then it obfuscates the class. So the obfuscation is the whole point. It means that like 50 of your components can use root as the root thing and it doesn't conflict in the CSS. It's just nice. It's such a simple idea. It does have a few other features. I don't even care what they are. I only use that one. That's like 99% of the value of CSS modules. But you'd think, oh, a little processor like that? What do you NPM install CSS modules to make that work? Nope. It's not a package. It's just an idea. It's just a concept. Like, go to the GitHub page for it. There's nothing there. It's just like, it's basically...
Another one of those user land ideas,
yes,
right?
It's just like an idea. It's like, oh, a class should obfuscate and then make itself available as an import. You're like, okay, that's the simplest idea I've ever heard.
But how? How do I do it?
But how? How do you do it? Yeah, where's the tool? There is no tool. You just do it. Anyway, maybe we'll do that. But I just think that's such a neat concept that if you want to support that, you just do it. Cool. I guess that's it. I mean, so the lineage is that like when we were working on Lightning CSS, it was like, oh, this is a cool idea. Then went back for it in Babel. Then went back for it in Post CSS. And now it's just like a thing. So when I eventually make the ESLint block, I'll just do it. I'll just like put it in there, you know. Kind of neat. But for now, Lightning CSS supports it. Post CSS supports it by virtue of Auto Fixer and preset Post CSS preset env, both cool. And both are like, if you just add the Post CSS block, I think you get them both. I think we give you them both.
Yeah, it should be maybe available by default.
Yeah. And there is a little bit of a thing to know is that I think it's either Babel or that one might come with a little string that represents browser support as part of the default config that we give you, and you just have to remove it. Otherwise, the specific blocks one wins over browser list, which is, I know, is weird to say, but that's just the right way to do it. Like, it's just a little bit more specific than the generic browsers list, so that one should win. But if you want everything to share a browsers list, which is kind of the point, you should just delete that. It's just, it needs to be there for the default config. There's little things like that that we're, you know, maybe we'll smooth them out over time. Like if you add the block and we see that you already have a browsers list, we'll adjust that config. I don't know. Those are such like specific little things and they're fun conversations to have, but they're not exactly like move the needle kind of conversations, you know? And they're like, they're just fun little polish kind of things.
But the benefit of having a browser's list and using that is you can start using a lot more of like the edge kind of features of newer browsers while still getting like in some instances you'll get like polyfills from like Babel for older syntax. And then like prefix, like adding the WebKit prefix for some of the CSS properties and all that. Like that, it makes it so much easier.
It matters,
to try,
you know? Like mask is one that kills me in CSS that still needs prefixing. And it's like, I don't want to write the prefix. You write the prefix, you know?
It's been around so long. Can we drop the prefix, please?
I know. And you know, Lightning CSS does it the other way too. And that if you accidentally put the prefixes in there, but your browser's list disagrees with that, like, oh, you don't need that, it'll take it out for you, which I think is cool too.
Thank you, Lightning.
Because that's a performance concern, you know? I just think that's a classy little move that it does, you know? I think the most of the value is, like, cranking it really hard one way or the other. Like, I think Babel's a little notorious for actually processing too much stuff down, and that this is an opportunity to be like, nah, dog, just leave it be, you know? Because you might have Babel turned on because JSX, and then, like, because JSX, and then your settings are to process too old, so you're like... all you really needed was JSX, but instead now you're getting that, which is like, cool, thanks. But all your rest of your JavaScript is getting downported a little too far, that you could crank it up to really modern syntax to just like leave it alone. That'd be cool. Or like cranking it really hard the other way and just getting the most possible browser support out of it is kind of nice too. You know, like if you're making something that's really important that works, might as well. Anyway, I think we squeezed enough explanation out of that. Anyway, CodePen supports browsers list now. If three of you clap, I'll be very pleased with that. All right, any final thoughts, Steven? You want to tease anything?
Let us know if you're interested in CSS modules. We can prioritize that a little bit more. I want that for sure. Let us know your browser's list config. Sound off in the comments, you know? Give us what browsers you support.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, be good. Take care. Bye-bye.